Need me at stage door.
Hello everyone and welcome back to PS Meet Me at Stage Door. Today we are coming at you with another exciting interview, but before we get into that, Tori, take it away with the bulletin.
The Sydney Cabaret Showcase is still planned to go ahead this year, and they have actually extended the entry date till the 1st of July, so make sure you get writing and get those entries in before applications close for 2020. You can find out more info and how to enter at archeryproductions.com. In other news, after the success of the initial concert, Joshua Robson Productions will return to shining that light on the Australian music theatre industry with Lights Up on the Arts, Not Done Yet. Tomorrow, the 19th of June at 7 p.m. You can head over and buy a ticket at a price you can afford at gofundme.com/LUOTA2. We'll see you there. And last but not least, we'd like to shine a light on an awesome Aussie theatre blog, Overture, run and written by the amazing Indy. Head over and check it out at overtureblog.com to read some amazing interviews with artists such as Rachel Ward, a Q&A with the cast of Ragtime, and unpopular theatre opinions, and so much more. Thank you for all the support, Indy, and keep killing it. That's all for now, Libby. Back over to you.
We are more than excited to have our youngest guest to date on the podcast, Oliver Alcare. At just 12 years old, Oliver has an impressive resume full of iconic roles for young performers. In 2016, he made his professional debut in the Australian company of Kinky Boots, playing young Charlie.
Most recently, Oliver has finished his run with School of Rock, playing the artistic costume designer, Billy. In 2019, he was picked out of hundreds of kids to play the title role of Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and was set to return to the role for the Brisbane season, but it was unfortunately cancelled due to COVID-19.
Despite the virus, it hasn't stopped this pocket rocket from producing his first musical, The Big 1-0, online edition, with performances starting from the 25th to the 27th of June. Please welcome Oliver.
Hi.
It's so great to have you on today.
Yes.
I'm so excited to be here.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming and getting up so early today to chat with us.
We are very excited. It is way too early in the morning, but we've had hot chocolates. We're good.
All right. Well, we're going to jump straight into it. How did you get into theatre?
Well, I've always loved theatre and I always have seen like The Wiggles when I was little and Baby Proms at the Opera House. And then the first musical that I saw was Mary Poppins. And I just loved that. And then I really wanted to do musicals after that. Yeah, I started with dance classes and then I did drama and singing classes. And then I started doing community theatre.
That's awesome. What was your first community theatre show?
It was My Son Pinocchio with Engadine Musical Society.
That's amazing. And like, you have done a lot of community theatre, but you've also done professional shows. And what was your first professional show like, getting to do Kinky Boots? That's an awesome, fun show. So what was that like?
Well, because I didn't have a huge role, it was a really good introduction to professional theatre, because I still learnt about professional theatre and it was a great learning experience. But I didn't have to be on stage the whole time.
That's so good. Were you a bit scared when you first got it? Or were you excited? Or
I was really nervous, but I was also definitely very excited.
What was your reaction when, I assume, Mum told you that you got the part?
I was just, I think, really excited and surprised.
Yeah? Oh, it would have been so exciting. What was rehearsal like for that one?
It was different to anything else I've done because it was in Melbourne when I did it, when I rehearsed. We just did short rehearsals with all the kids.
Yeah.
And then we mainly rehearsed for 4 hours, so it wasn't very long. And then I think it was only over 3 weeks, and then we started performances.
That's awesome. But yeah, like you said, it would have been just like really nice, gentle introduction to the professional world, because obviously it is going to be quite a decent amount more intense than what community theatre, especially at the beginning, would be like. But you've also recently performed in School of Rock and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. What was it like taking on such iconic roles such as Billy? And of course, if you don't recognise the name straight away, it's the kid that says, "You're tacky and I hate you" in School of Rock. Of course, and of course, Charlie Bucket as well. What was that like?
Well, in School of Rock, because of his amazing lines, he's such a memorable child and it was just amazing getting to play that role. And I remember the first time that I found out that I was in, I watched the movie straight away, and he has some of the best lines in the whole movie and the musical as well. And then Charlie, because he's been famous, like the book, then the movie, and then the remake of the movie, and then the musical came out. So many different generations know about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So getting to perform that role, like at stage door, so many different people came with their grandchildren or their children, like lots of different people came to see Charlie because it's such an amazing movie, musical, book.
Did you have any great interactions with people who came and saw it and that were like young kids who were inspired by you getting up there and being obviously incredible? What, do you have any good stories?
Yeah, I think lots of people came and saw it, like I said, but great stories. People came to stage door, I guess, and were amazed by the whole show. And lots of my friends, I went to school with them, and then that night they would come and see me, and they were absolutely amazed that I could go to school every day and then perform at night.
Of course, like that must be also really hard having to do, like how many performances did you have to do a week of Charlie?
I did two performances and then two standbys.
Oh wow, so you were there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And still doing school at the same time. That must have been quite intense for you.
We did a bit of schoolwork at the theatre sometimes when we needed to catch up, but it was quite intense.
And do you find that you got to put like your own kind of personality into the roles as well?
Yeah, so then when I showed up to the first day of rehearsals, Billy was already a character and Charlie was already a character, but then the director told us that we need to make Billy our own interpretation of Billy and same as Charlie. So it's really fun being able to put me into that role.
Yeah, because it also means that people that go and see it, and especially with things like Charlie where it's a character that I think everybody, I don't know of anyone that probably wouldn't know Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And it means that every time you see it, whether it's you or one of the other Charlies, you're going to get a different experience every time because it's you. And we're getting to see, if you were Charlie, who would you be? Which I think is really awesome, and that they actually really prompted you to be like, this is going to be your interpretation of it.
What was your favorite song to sing in Charlie? Like, did you have a favorite number that you would do?
Yeah, I loved being in the Great Glass Elevator and singing The View From Here because it's a very fun song, but it's quite emotional. And how he's just got the factory for himself when Charlie starts singing, it's really nice to be singing with Willy Wonka at that point.
And I guess also because the whole show is very, I guess, magical in a way. Was there like the costumes and everything? Were you amazed when you got in there for the first time?
Definitely.
And saw it all?
And the first day that we got into the theater, we had a big introduction about how all the magic works, because in rehearsals we didn't work with the magic as much, and it was amazing to see how magical it can be backstage and on stage.
It's cool to see the behind the scenes of how all the magic works.
Yeah.
And you're like, now I'm a magician. Exactly. And I guess School of Rock was such a high energy show, and I don't know if anyone is listening who saw the show, it was absolutely incredible but very high energy, and everyone looked like they were sweating buckets on stage. Did you have to how did you prepare for that, really?
So I guess in rehearsals we did lots of dance because it was the biggest dance show that I'd done, and I guess in rehearsals we just did lots of preparation of how to control our energy throughout the show. And then during intermission, we were very, like, pumped up and had to get energetic as well. All throughout the show, we learned where we have to be extra energetic and where we bring the energy down a bit, so we didn't waste all our energy on the first song and then not be able to perform the rest of the show. Well, the funniest thing was the biggest, like, the most high-energy song was at the very end of the show, and the biggest dance number that I did was pretty much at the end of the show. There was one in the middle of the show, but then we had intermission to rest, but then this one was, we didn't go off stage for a while, and then we had to do a big dance number. So that was quite hard, but it was so fun. And then at the very end, you pretty much get a standing ovation every night after we finish that dance. So it was really amazing.
The energy in that room was incredible. Yeah. Like when you guys, because you got the kids, you play the instruments. And did you learn from any of the other kids, like any cool instruments?
Yeah. And it was definitely a great learning experience because it was the first show that I'd done with lots of kids. So we all learned from each other because there were some really good dancers, some really good singers, and some really good people who played instruments. So we all learned different things from each other, and it was really good.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't personally get to see Charlie when it was in Sydney. How many kids are, because I know that like Veruca and the other kids in the show are played by adults.
Yeah.
How many other kids are there actually in the car?
So there was only four who all played Charlie. So there was
so
one.
It's just the Charlies and everybody else is an adult.
Yeah.
How was that? Like, it's purely working with adults in that situation.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun, and we really got to talk to all of the adults. And because when I was on standby, I would go around backstage with my chaperone.
Right.
So I would always talk to the adults and do that sort of backstage fun.
Oh, that would be so exciting. I was listening to the songs last night and I was just like, what I would give to play Veruca Salt.
What was the rehearsals like for Charlie? Because it would have been really different to Kinky Boots. So what was that like getting to work with four other kids? I mean, we were saying before, you aren't an understudy, because like with understudies, you watch another person play it, you take notes, and then you kind of, it's like you kind of, not copy, but you need to have the same sort of movement so that you're really, the audience can't tell the difference. What was it like with Charlie? Did you each have your own individual time, or how did that work?
So for the first bit of it, because the show had never been done in Australia, all the adults and the whole cast came in on the first day not knowing the show, but we all learned our lines before. And then I think we started off a week before rehearsals started properly with a vocal coach, because Charlie was such a big belter. He sings a lot. We had to learn how to belt properly without damaging our voice. And then on the first day of rehearsals, and the full rehearsal period, we did four Charlies at the same rehearsal, and we pretty much did vocal calls together, but everything else we sat down and watched the others, and then we all got a go at doing it. And because, as I said before, it was the first time it had been performed in Australia, no one knew like their roles. So we did lots of character building with the whole cast, so everyone got to know the show together. And then for all the scenes that we set and all the dance numbers that we choreographed together, we got taught, we did it one by one pretty much. And then we sometimes did it all together. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about for you, but when I personally play a role that I've seen loads of other people do, it's really hard to not watch them and go, oh, and they did this and that got a laugh. And you got to completely, from the ground up, do the character work and be like,
yeah,
make it really, because obviously as much as Billy, you got to make him your own, Charlie would have been, well, this is my interpretation because we don't know anything else.
Yeah. With rehearsals, how it really worked was because we saw each other do it, we all learnt off each other. So if someone did do something really well, then we usually did that. And sometimes the director would even say, I really like that. Can everyone do that? So we did get to learn off each other.
Yeah, which is good, because sometimes you'll get stuck and be like, I don't know how, like, I could do it like this, I could do it like that, and you might see someone else and be like, oh, okay, and it can help you then go, great, I'm gonna do that, but I'm gonna do this slightly differently.
And how did that work? Were you doing school at the same time as doing the rehearsals, or how long were the rehearsals?
Well, during the rehearsals for Charlie, we wouldn't really do school, but we would do school, I think, 2 days a week usually, and then rehearse 3 days a week, and sometimes on a Saturday. So we did do school a bit, but then any work that we had to catch up on, we got an opportunity at rehearsals to quickly do some work.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So you still had to go to school, unfortunately. Yeah.
But you seem like disciplined, so I feel like you probably wouldn't have had, like, obviously it's still like you're not in the classroom every day, but I feel like, was it hard to stay on top of your work?
Well, I guess I got given less work because I was exempt from school. So I wouldn't have to do as much. And I was only in year five then. So it wasn't that hard. And because I think all of us were in primary school, except one, we didn't really have to do much work. So it was good like that.
Well, I guess also taking on such a big role, learning lines, a lot of the English text of being in a show and getting to learn the text, it's almost like it's better than school in a way.
Definitely. I found with every single rehearsal or show that I've done, I've learned more than I would at school otherwise about what I want to do, because I really want to be a performer. So I've learned more about performing than I would at school.
Yeah, definitely. It's a better, you know, straight to professional, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, you're already a professional, which is insane. But what do you think your favourite moment has been so far?
Out of all shows, I think my favourite moment has probably been in Charlie, where because he's such a big role and he has so many good songs, it's magical every time that I got to perform that role and step out on stage for the first song, which was really energetic. I think that's the best moment, singing that first song.
Realizing your dream and being living that dream, that's, you know, very powerful.
Yeah, and I think actually the best moment was, I have two, the first performance of Charlie and the last performance of Charlie. It's definitely the best two moments.
They're big and they're scary and they're exciting. And whilst at the last performance, it's always that little bit sad. It's still like, it's the end of such an amazing chapter.
Definitely. And I think because it was my last performance, I probably did one of the best performances I've ever done.
That's satisfying when your last one, you go out with a bang and you're like, yes, I nailed that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to switch things up a little bit. We're going to play a game. And to anyone listening at home, will know the lyric challenge that we do. So pretty much how this is going to work, Libby's going to go first so she can kind of demonstrate the rules. Yeah. Pretty much I'm going to give you like the first like sentence or two of a lyric, then you have to finish the lyric.
Oh.
Yeah. And we work on a 2-point system. So if you can name the show, you get a point. And then if you finish the lyric, you get a point as well.
Okay.
If you need me to sing it, because I'll just say it. If you need me to sing it, let me know. I will try my best. But we will start with Libby.
All right, give it to me. All right, let's do this. Right.
So your first one is, I mean, she sleeps and all, but still, she's afraid of darkness.
Oh, it's really familiar. I can't even pick the musical, but it's like right on the tip of my tongue. Do you know what it is?
No.
No, I'm like, what is it? Okay, she sleeps in darkness.
I mean, she sleeps and all, but still, she's afraid of darkness. Do you want me to sing it? I mean, she sleeps and all, but still, she's afraid of darkness.
Darkness. Songs for a New World. I'm not afraid of anything.
But the lyric.
Oh! Okay, well.
I mean, she sleeps and all, but still, she's afraid of darkness.
Oh, guys, I've lost it. I'll... Yep, I haven't got it.
And when the lights go out, she has to hold my hand. I don't understand.
Of course. Oh, well, that's all right.
Well, now you've seen how the game works. Don't worry, I feel like you've got this.
Yeah, hopefully.
There's been one solution since the world began.
Oh, which verse is it? It's School of Rock. Is it Don't Just Sit and Take It, Stick It to the Man?
Yes.
Yes!
I was like, if you don't know this, I will feel like a really bad person. All right. I hate Regina's guts, but here's what you don't comprehend.
Oh, I hate Regina's guts. This is what you comprehend. It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's Mean Girls. it's the one sentence I'm like, you know that one sentence that you always murmur over when you sing a song and you're like, nah, I don't got it.
Okay. I hate Regina's guts, but here's what you don't comprehend. At least she has the guts to not pretend to be my friend. Okay, so we're on 2-2 now. Listen up. Let me tell you a story. A story that you think you've heard before.
Oh my gosh, this is like the line that I always stumble.
Is it the one that you're like,
yeah,
it's the same?
Well, it's definitely from Six, and the song is XY's.
Yep.
Does it start with we know or something? We know you know our names and our fame and our one word that I don't know.
Also starts with an F.
Faces?
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Okay. We know you know our names and our fame and our faces. And when I was writing it, I was like, we know you know our names and our face. And I was like, no, there's something.
Yeah.
Because it's like it keeps repeating itself.
Oh my gosh. You're so good at this.
Okay. Daddy said to be home by sundown. Daddy doesn't need to know.
Oh, is this Hamilton?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Could you sing it?
Daddy said to be home by sundown. Daddy doesn't need to know.
Oh no! Oh my gosh! You know when? Oh god! I'm really struggling today, guys. It's too early for this.
Daddy said not to go downtown. Like I said, you're free to go.
Oh!
All right. Well, it's okay. Ollie, you have one more.
Got this. I believe in you.
Okay. I'd like to say a thing or two about this song I sing for you.
Can you sing that?
Because... Yeah. So it's I'd like to say a thing or two about this song I sing for you.
I feel like I've never heard that, but I might have.
It's from one of your favorite musicals. And it was sung by someone who was in School of Rock in the Australian cast.
Is it from Beautiful? Okay.
So it's, I'd like to say a thing or two about this song I sing for you. These are not the words you thought you knew to Happy Days Are Here Again. I think it'd be, if you and I went against each other, I think it'd be a struggle. Well, congrats, Ollie. You are the winner of this week's lyric challenge.
So at just 12 years old, you are producing your own show, The Big 1-0 Online Edition. What inspired you to produce your first show?
Well, I guess I've always wanted to produce a show, especially after I did the professional shows that I've been in, and after coronavirus hit and I got sent home from Brisbane, I've wanted to help the arts industry in a way. And then I found the Big 1-0 Online Edition and I thought, wow, this could be really good. And then I saw that it wasn't too expensive, so then I thought, okay, I'll apply for the rights, and then I got it.
That's incredible. I mean, it's good that it's not too expensive, because rights are really expensive. When I heard you were producing it, I was like, oh my gosh, it is quite, you know, it's a lot to take on such a huge role. And you're also in it as well.
Yeah.
You're the lead role in it, aren't you?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
Another Charlie.
That's why I saw the role and I'm like, I can't not play Charlie.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have been in it, but I just can't not play Charlie.
You're like, of course, needs to be Charlie.
Yeah.
Third time is the charm.
Like, exactly.
I mean, but obviously, when we spoke initially about it and you said that you were producing this show, I was like, it sounds super familiar, but I don't personally know loads about the show. Could you tell us just a little bit more about like what the show is about and a little bit about the story, obviously with not spoiling anything?
Yeah. Okay, so it's based on a novel by a best-selling book author, Dean Pitchford, and it started off as a show off-Broadway. And I didn't really know anything about it. And it's actually about a boy's 10th birthday party. And he's turning 10. And he has imaginary monster friends. And he doesn't have any real friends to invite to his party. So it's about him trying to find friends to invite to his birthday party.
Aw, that's so beautiful.
I love that, though. But do you get to see the monsters in the show?
Yes.
That's really cool. I was like, when you said that, I was like, do they play like a large part in the show?
Kind of, but definitely look out for the monsters. They're amazing.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We are really excited to watch it. We can't wait. And it must be a challenge doing it online as well, because rehearsing and everything.
With all rehearsals over Zoom, it definitely is a challenge. But how we like to do it is how the music director set it up is she kind of teaches us over Zoom, but then we have to regularly record us singing to send it to her because of the lag. We can't really sing over Zoom at once. And then during the rehearsal process, we discovered that if she's playing piano while we sing, she can only hear her side, because on Zoom, for some reason, too many people can't talk at once.
It cuts out.
So, yeah.
Yeah. How are you planning on doing the actual show itself? Are you pre-recording it?
Yep, so we're pre-recording it, and then we'll put it on a private YouTube link, and then the ticket goes to the private, like, we send the link for the private YouTube link.
Well, and of course, guys, make sure you do check it out. You can find a link at The Big 1-0 Australia on Instagram, and the ticket link is through there as well. So make sure you do buy tickets to this, because I think it's going to be, I know Libby and I have actually planning on buying tickets.
We are.
But it's really inspirational to see people, and especially someone of such a young age being, taking that step and being like, you know what? I'm going to do this, and this is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, and I think the main reason why I really wanted to do it is because I was planning to perform in Brisbane and to see heaps of shows while I was there, and then even come back and see some shows. I had a whole list of shows that I wanted to see, just as Sydney was getting so many good shows, and then theatre kind of cut out. So then I want to give a theatre production, but online, while we still can.
It's really cool to see the new innovation happening, especially within theatre, during this time, because it's actually forced us to create a lot more and think outside the box, which is really exciting.
Yeah, and I love how everyone's like adapting to this when we need to, so people can still enjoy theatre.
Exactly. Obviously, this is your first time producing a musical. How are you feeling leading up to the show?
I'm really excited, because I can't wait to just see it all come together as a good show.
It's amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. But before we leave, we do actually want to get your bedtime story. So our bedtime story section is really just some funny stories you've had, onstage mishaps, anything that's gone wrong. Have you got one for us?
Yeah. So when I was on a show, I was in the middle of a dance number and my pants split. And luckily it was like halfway through act two, but they split. And then after that, I had to pretty much change everything to make sure that they didn't split anymore. Or like you could see it. So I had to sit down quite a bit after that. So I sat down really awkwardly and then I couldn't sit properly. And then they split again when I was stepping up onto something. And then all that you could hear was a big rip. Oh, and then the guy playing on stage with me was like, I could hear that. Yeah. And then probably the front row could hear that. It was so loud. It was so funny, though.
And hopefully no one saw anything as well. That is such a great story.
No, but thank you so much for taking the time and coming and chatting with us and, of course, sharing your wisdom, because you do, like, you wouldn't necessarily think it straight away, but you have so much knowledge about theatre and the theatre industry, both from, you know, your experience, but also you choosing to do your research into shows and such. So thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and sharing that with us. It's been so exciting to get to meet you and, you know, someone so young that's already had just so much success.
Thanks so much for having me.
So guys, make sure you guys check out The Big One, OHAUS, on their Instagram and on their Facebook to get all the tickets. And that will be playing from the 25th to the 27th of June. So make sure you check it out.
Yeah, we'll link that all on our social media so that if you can't find it, don't worry, we've got your back. We will post the link on our Instagram and on our Facebook account. But of course, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks, most likely. But stay happy and healthy, and we love you guys so, so much.
Bye.